You mean I should stay dead for now?
That's it, son. Dying is the only way for you to float free. Nomonhan.
He went on talking about Nomonhan for another hour. We just sat there and listened. We had been ordered to receive his teaching, but in a year of monthly visits to his place, he had almost never had a teaching for us to receive. He rarely performed divination. The one thing he talked about was the Nomonhan incident, how a cannon shell blew off half the skull of the lieutenant next to him, how he leapt into a Soviet tank and torched it with a Molotov cocktail, how they cornered and shot a downed Soviet pilot. All his stories were interesting, even thrilling, but as with anything else, if you hear them 7 or 8 times, they tend to lose some of their luster. Nor did he simply tell his stories, he screamed them. He could have been standing on a cliff edge on a windy day, shouting to us across a chasm. It was like watching an old Kurosawa movie from the very front row of a rundown cinema. Neither of us could hear much of anything for a while after we left his house. Still, we, or at least I, enjoyed listening to Mr. Honda's stories. Most of them were bloody, but coming from the mouth of a dying old man in a dirty old robe, the details of battle lost the ring of reality. They sounded more like fairy tales. Almost half a century earlier, Mr. Honda's unit had fought a ferocious battle over a barren patch of wilderness on the Manchurian-Mongolian border. Until I heard about it from Mr. Honda, I knew almost nothing about the Battle of Nomonhan. And yet it had been a magnificent battle. Almost barehanded, they had defied the superior Soviet mechanized forces, and they had been crushed. One unit after another had been annihilated. Some officers had, on their own initiative, ordered their troops to retreat to avoid annihilation. Their superiors forced them to commit suicide. Most of the troops captured by the Soviets refused to participate in the post-war exchange of prisoners because they were afraid of being tried for desertion. These men ended up contributing their bones to the Mongolian earth. Sent home with an honorable discharge, after he lost his hearing, Mr. Honda became a practitioner of divination.
"It was all to the good," he said. "If my hearing hadn't been ruined, I probably would have died in the South Pacific. That's what happened to most of the troops who survived Nomonhan. Nomonhan was a great embarrassment for the Imperial Army, so they sent the survivors where they were most likely to be killed. The commanding officers who made such a mess of Nomonhan went on to have distinguished careers in Central Command. Some of the bastards even became politicians after the war. But the guys who fought their hearts out for them were almost all snuffed out."
"Why was Nomonhan such an embarrassment for the army?" I asked. "The troops all fought bravely and a lot of them died, right? Why were the survivors treated so badly?"
But Mr. Honda seemed not to hear my question. He stirred and rattled his divining sticks.
"You'd better be careful of water," he said.
And so ended the day's session. After my bus stop with Kumiko's father, we stopped going to Mr. Honda's. It was impossible for me to continue visiting him knowing it was being paid for by my father-in-law, and we were in no position to pay him ourselves. We could barely keep our heads above water in those days. In time, we forgot about Mr. Honda, just as most busy young people tend to forget about most old people. In bed that night, I went on thinking about Mr. Honda. Both he and Malta Kano had spoken to me about water. Mr. Honda had warned me to be careful. Malta Kano had undergone austerities on the island of Malta in connection with her research on water. Perhaps it was a coincidence, but both of them had been deeply concerned about water. Now it was starting to worry me. I turned my thoughts to images of the battlefield at Nomonhan, the Soviet tanks and machine gun emplacements, and the river flowing beyond them, the unbearable thirst. In the darkness I could hear the sound of the river.
"Toru,"
Kumiko said to me in a tiny voice.